Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. In this message, we're going to talk about the roles of men and women and how they are intentionally unique and complementary of one another as our great and loving Creator has designed them to be. Oh, what a beautiful union God wants to bring His people together in, those that are unmarried, and what He wants to do to protect and perfect those unions that are already together. And yet we live in the last days, a Jezebel corrupted society, and must remember that both parties, man and woman, male and female, that's the only two genders that ever were, that are, and that ever will be. So both parties, the male and the female, in the specific, they must come together to serve. Let me say it that way. I was talking with one of my brothers recently, and he talked about the need for two people to come together as humble servants to serve one another in holy matrimony. It's been wisely said that marriage is not so much to make you happy as much as it is to make you holy. And so both parties must come together, postured to serve in the specific God-ordained stated roles of the husband and the wife. On the topic of servanthood, if you will, and many of you already do this and know the power of what I'm getting ready to share, if you will consciously and as a decision based on the Word of God, go into every situation, every relationship, every meeting that you're going to have this week and today with anyone else that's another breathing human being, if you will go in with the mind of Christ to serve them even above yourself, Philippians 2, your whole life is going to be changed, and the impact of the Lord of heaven is going to be so much more powerful in and through your life, and you're going to be happy. You're not happy if you're serving yourself. And so every relationship, especially that between a man and his wife, a husband and wife, that's postured to serve each party, is going to be a dynamic, powerful, and pleasing to God relationship that God is going to use in so many powerful ways in this late hour. So both parties must come together as God has ordained, for the man as the husband and the woman as the wife, and they must be postured in servitude, serving God and serving the other person as unto the Lord. And we must study these roles, gentlemen, ladies. So much stated in the Bible about the specific role of the man, the husband, and the woman, the wife. We must bow and worship the Almighty, to whom we, each of us, shall give full account. Amen. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, what? The judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Also Hebrews 6, one of the six principal doctrines of Christ is that of judgment to come. We're all going to stand before God and give full account for our lives. Romans 14:10, etc. God's not going to judge the man for doing the role of the woman, but rather the role of the man. And God is not going to judge the woman for trying to do the part or the role of a man, but rather the role of a woman. It's an open book test, guys, and we're all going to be judged with inevitably. Every one of us is going to individually stand before God. And I want you to take that in your mind and visit that, because it's going to happen. Why? Because the Bible tells us that. And when you meditate on the Word of God, you're going to want to take that and say, I'm going to stand before God, gentlemen, and I'm going to give account for how I was the in the role of the husband, the father, the man in this relationship. And if we don't see that prophetically, that that's coming and it's absolutely going to happen, if we do see that, let me say it that way, it's going to change the way we live. Amen. Are we going to be ready to stand in that judgment before the Lord, which He desires us to be? And this isn't to scare anyone. It's to prepare us for something that's going to happen. No different than when you were in school and the teacher said, you got a test this Friday. Was she trying to scare you? Well, probably more trying to prepare you, right? So it's time to repent afresh before the Lord and have a fresh come to Jesus meeting, as we all need throughout our lives after being initially born again, and begin to pray, Lord, I want to be the man, the husband, the father that you called me to be. First and foremost, the worshiper of you, one who is obedient to you, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's talk about these gender roles and somewhat in context of, although it fits both ways, but somewhat in context of those who are praying to be married to a godly man, you ladies, and godly men who are praying to be married to a godly woman. Remember, the Bible says to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So if you're single, I should say unmarried as the Bible calls it, and you desire a wife, gentlemen, or ladies, you desire a husband, the number one thing they must be is they must be a genuinely born again believer, a disciple of Jesus who follows Him daily. No, they're not going to be perfect, just like you and I are not perfect, but they're working out their salvation with fear and trembling. And God is working in them both to will and to do of His good pleasure, Philippians 2, 12 and 13. So if a man, ladies, is not a provider, by the way, I'm going to pick on, quote unquote, both the men and the women here. So if you're hearing one part of this, just hold on and keep listening. You're going to get the other too. We don't want to leave any stone unturned. And this is not, by the way, for any condemnation, but this is to set in order the things of the Word of God in our lives. Amen. If a man isn't a provider, or at least working, if you will, he's not fit to be married, especially not to one of the Lord's daughters. Now, this doesn't mean he has to be some rich guy. Most guys aren't. It's the secular, the godless woman who's waiting around for the rich man. She's not looking for the man of God. She's looking for the man who will serve her own self-serving agenda. And that's a wicked woman, guys. We many times in our day call them gold diggers. Some of you have seen those videos on YouTube, and that's pretty disgusting. Again, that's the antithesis of godliness, because when a person is moving into a relationship, prayerfully posturing himself to be joined together with their mate, they're coming in to serve, not to be served. That's exactly what Jesus said He came to do. He came to serve, not to be served. I believe that's the 20th chapter of Matthew 20 through 28. The Son of Man has not come to be ministered to or served, but He's come to serve. Amen. You're not a disciple if you're not living to serve God and serve others, and as unto the Lord, Jesus says here in Matthew 20, 26, but it shall not be so among you, that is, where in the secular world, people exalt themselves over each other. Jesus said it's completely opposite in the kingdom of Christ. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or your servant. Minister is like the word administer. You're taking and you're giving something good. You're ministering to other people. Verse 27. Some of the ladies listening and gentlemen that are in the medical community, that when you give people, hopefully giving them things that are natural instead of the poison of our day, that the medical community is pushing on people with all the drugs. But let's just say you're wanting to help somebody and you're tending to their health. You're administering that which is going to make their health better. And you understand that in a deeper sense, but I think all of us can catch that. Whosoever will be chief among you, that is in the eyes of God, let him be your servant. You know, you see, and God is going to be the one that we stand before to give account. to, not this world. We're not to be, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, saints, every day. And we're not to be conformed to the thinking and the rudiments or ways of this world, but we are to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's what we're doing right now. Our minds are being transformed right this moment as we are recalibrated to realize we are called by God, saved and ordained to come to the knowledge of the truth and all of it, and ordained to walk in His truth, which is the antithesis or the opposite of what we have in the world around us. And let me stop to say, are you in the Word of God, friend? If you're not in the Word of God, you're not being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And God is calling you to repent. You're backslidden. You're lukewarm at best. You show me a man that's not in the Word of God every day and it has a life of prayer, I'm going to show you, and you've just seen, a backslidden man. Same thing for the woman. You're not qualified to be equally yoked with a godly mate. If you're not in the Word of God, you're not seeking God daily in the Word and in a life of prayer and serving others around you. Amen. Tending to the things of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We've got a book, a real small book called Are You Marriage Material? You can find it on Amazon or on the store page on safeguardyoursoul.com. It's called Are You Marriage Material? So we continue here. Jesus finishes here by saying, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Amen. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. So if a man, we're talking about the men, isn't working, then he's not fit to be married, to be a provider. The Bible says if a man provide not for his own, then he's worse than an infidel. So when we're talking about a man of God, a disciple of Jesus, again, none of us are perfect, but those that are born again and abiding in Christ presently, gentlemen, will be leading those around them in prayer and in the Word of God. Luke 18:1, men specifically ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Timothy 2:8, that tells us that men are to pray publicly. And notice this, 1 Timothy 2:8, I will, Paul says, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Amen. Men of God are to lead others in prayer, no matter where they are. Notice, everywhere. If you go out to eat with this man that maybe you just started dating or courting, obviously, listen, the posture between male and female in the kingdom of Christ should be the desire to marry with the intention. That's the only reason why you would go on a outing, we call it a date with somebody, to dinner, coffee, whatever, is to see whether or not this person is someone that could possibly be your future mate. And ladies, you know, there's a meme out there. I love it. It says what I was going to express, probably more powerfully than I could express it. It says, you know, the lady's thinking as her and her date are getting ready to eat, they're sitting at a table, that he said, can we pray? And he leads in a prayer, and she says, you had me at let us pray. Amen. So the man should be bold in his faith. If you run a woman off, and men, we know that we've all, godly men, run some women off because we hold forth the word of life, Philippians 2:16, including speaking the word in love and wisdom and also praying. Well, that's a woman you wanted to run off. Amen. Same for the ladies. If you did something godly and it ran him off, you should be rejoicing. God has set you free. Many listening to me know exactly what it means to be married to a fake, counterfeit, somebody that deceived them into believing they were a Christian and they're not. So as an unmarried person, we should throw our hands up and say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me from such a catastrophic potential marriage that could have been a relationship. That is absolutely a deliverance. And so we should rejoice in that. Obviously, there are people that are very attractive to us. You know, everybody has people that have been attractive to us. But when the rubber meets the road, if you will, when the metal is tested and this person is repelled by you because you're living a godly life, That's a deliverance. That is a blessing. That is God protecting you from such a person, because he commanded us to be not in unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So the man of God is going to be rich in God's word, Colossians 3:16. This doesn't necessarily mean that he is a mature Christian, but he's saved and he loves the word of God. He hears it and he puts it as his final divine authority. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means abundantly, richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song. And any disciple of Christ is going to be a teachable, humble servant. Amen. The God-fearing man is sincere. He's humble. He's authentic. He's serving God and others as unto the Lord right where he is. He's sold out to Christ and not some church or ministry. Now, that's a big one. A lot of people love their church, man. Pretty concerning, actually. Instead of saying, I love my Lord Jesus Christ and serving the nail-scarred, the only one that's nail-scarred, has nail-scarred hands and feet, and is raised from the dead for our sins. That's Christ, not your church. A lot of people, they won't yoke with somebody that doesn't love their church because they love their church. And that's ridiculous. See, they have an idol in their life, seems like to me. We've got to be careful about all that, guys. Jesus is the only one who died for our sins, shed his blood on the cross, was buried, and raised again for the dead. If we're talking about our church more than Christ, it's time to repent. A lot of people in love with their church. Be careful about that. They're sold out to their church. And ladies, you should be looking for a man that's sold out to Christ, not some church, 99% of which are apostate. And if you don't know that, you need to get into the Word of God, because when you get into the Word of God, it's going to open your eyes, it's going to circumcise your heart, and you're going to have less, and the more you get into the Word, the less you're going to have in common with the apostate modern church. Somebody said, well, America's got a lot of people that are backslide, have backslider, are backslide. No, that's normally calculated by how many people are no longer going to these phony churches. The ones that don't even use the King James Bible, that is apostasy right there. Immediately, you know it's apostate. They got some fairy tale little corrupted new version. We got a big cache on that topic there on safeguardyoursoul.com. It's called Bible Version Category. On the right side of the desktop version is a drop-down menu. I want you to put your seatbelt on and check that out if you don't know how these new Bibles, so-called Bibles, have been corrupted grossly, horribly. So, ladies, you should be looking for a man who sold out to Christ, not some church. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. See, Christ's disciples, that is of men, they're men of the cross, of the blood of Christ's cross, and the cross he commanded us to take up. Amen. The blood of his cross. Colossians 1:20, also Jesus said, if any man's going to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So if you're looking for a man of God, you're praying for one, you shall know them by their fruit. Matthew 7:16-19, just like somebody else is going to know you by your fruit. And by the way, we should all first and foremost know our own self by the fruit of our own life, by the words of our lips every day. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? Matthew 12:34. Out of the fruit that's being generated and we're seeing unfold in our own lives, first and foremost. And then we're to know others by their fruit. Jesus commanded it, Matthew 7:16-20. So if you don't see these things in a man's life, if these things aren't resident in some fashion in his life, he's not qualified to be married to a God-fearing woman. No matter what he professes. A lot of people professing they love God, but in works they deny him. Titus 1:16, many are going to say, not a few, Jesus said at judgment, many are going to say, Lord, Lord, I cast out devil. I did all of this religious stuff, but he's going to say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity or lawlessness. So I would say prayer and the word of God, as usual, are going to be the primary components, the absolute components of discerning another person. And this is going to be one of the biggest discernments that you are faced with in your whole life. Because next to being saved, the person you're married to, the person you marry, is going to be the most important thing. So now we switch to the ladies. Gentlemen, if a woman is not hospitable, that goes for both a male and a female, by the way, warm and hospitable. If the woman is not coming into the relationship to serve, just like cases for the men to be a servant in the capacity of the male, in the capacity of the female, as God ordained it. If the woman is not coming as a keeper at home, Titus 2, 3 through 5, the woman is to be a keeper at home. She's to be obedient to her husband. According to that same passage in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, then she is not a candidate to marry a man of God. If she's not coming into that marriage, understanding that she is to be a keeper at home, what does that mean? Clean the home. The man provides the home. She cleans the home. If she's not coming to present love in the manner, in the capacity of feeding, cooking and feeding for her husband and maybe children to come, she's unqualified to be married to a godly man. Gentlemen, why would you do that? First of all, the woman is to be the helpmeet of the man. Why do you even need a woman that's not going to clean and cook? Oh, yeah, that sounds old school, but that's dead on truth. And if you don't agree with that, it's because you're probably a rebellious Jezebel. If you listen to this website, you're going to know that we're monster enemies of Jezebel. So Jezebel and feminism is nothing but Jezebelianism has ruined this country, or it's an outworking, I should say, of the rebellious of those who claim to love Jesus and are not living out these roles that we're talking about in this message. Romans chapter 1 is a good place to camp out on this week. So notice in Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, the Bible says the aged women, the older women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers. A lot of gossips, you know, a lot of gossip. That's horrible. False accusers talking about stuff they shouldn't even be talking about. That's coming out of a wicked heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34. So the age of the older women, likewise, they are to be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be what? Sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blaspheme. So there's several things here. We're not unpacking this passage specifically other than to mention being a keeper at home. She's to be chaste. That would include being modest, as the Bible speaks of women are dressed modestly.
1 Timothy 2 verses 9 through 15.
Her body is for you if you're married to her. Nobody else. Women that are showing things they shouldn't be showing, that's not a godly woman, folks. Gentlemen, that run for your life as soon as you see that. I mean, these women that you see on social media and on TV as you walk around in town that are showing everything, that's not going to attract a good man. That's only going to attract a whoremonger. And whoremongers and adulterers, God is going to judge. Hebrews 13:4. Other things listed here. The older women, and by the way, God bless all the older women. Now, if you're 20 years old, if you're 30 years old, there's women younger than you, girls and women. They need to be learning from you. You need to be teaching them these very things right here. To be in behavior as becometh holiness, not a false accuser, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, sober. You're to learn to love your husband. You should be preparing to love your husband and your children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. So that's the things that older women are to be teaching younger women and that women are to be learning. And gentlemen, this is the things that you need to be looking for. If a woman comes in and she's bragging about how much money she makes, that she doesn't need a man in her life,
playing worldly games
like so many brainwashed Jezebels today, that's not a godly woman. Godly woman's coming in. She's not coming in to be the breadwinner. That's for the man to do. This same pastoral epistle collection here in 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if a man doesn't provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel. So the man is to be the provider. Isn't that a blessing? We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. You know, there's some older women that are really doing an incredible job teaching
the younger women. One of them is Lori Alexander. You can find her all over social media. Many of you know exactly who I'm talking about. She's called the Transformed Wife. Lori and her husband have four grown children with coming near to 20 grandchildren. What a fabulous family this is, exemplary. Lori wrote this recently. She says, feminism teaches women to be selfish. Life is all about them and their wants. A selfish person will never, she puts that in caps, capital letters, never have a good marriage. A good marriage comes from being selfless, willing to serve, holding no grudges, not being offended easily, and loving deeply. Wow. Unquote. The transformed wife, Lori Alexander, is another lady of many that I am seeing all over social media. And she calls her handle femininity and freedom. And when you start putting traditional wife into your search box, you'll find some amazing women, godly women to follow and learn from. Also, the word femininity in a world of feminism, some of them talk about. You're going to start really getting some incredible input, as gentlemen can also learn from other men masculinity, which we're going to read a little bit. I'm going to quote some things here in a minute. A masculinity is on a great up curve in revival, as is true godly femininity. It's so beautiful to see the labors of the Lord being used of him to put forth the truth, as we're doing in this message. So we're finishing our segment here about what men need to look for in a woman. Many women are not feminine in our day. Many have wasted their lives preparing to do the man's role, to get an education, to be the breadwinner, to be a strong woman. Ridiculous. Men don't want a strong woman. They want the weaker vessel, a feminine woman that needs him to do his part in being the strong one of the relationship. The Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel there in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. It says, likewise, ye wives, that's the women, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the way of life of the wife. That's an amazing verse here. When I was a young believer, an older couple, they must have been in their 60s, just absolutely beautiful, both of them, beaming with the love of Christ. I love those. I was in fellowship with them for, I guess, a couple of years, but they sat me down in one day and showed me this verse right here. Notice the woman that is married to an ungodly man, or is married to a man that's Christian but needing to learn some things. She's not to try to win him with the word. Stand over him and preach the word to him. That's not how it's done. No, she's to win him by her conversation, her godliness, her serving of him in the midst of his learning. Notice, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word, that is spoken word, it seems that would be conveying, be won by the conversation of the way of the wife, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well. And doing well would be everything we've read to this point in 1 Peter 3, and are not afraid with any amazements. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that's your godly wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I don't know about you. That's one thing I do not ever want for one second in my life. I don't ever want to be in a place where my prayers are hindered. What about you? And if we're walking outside of the will of God as heirs together, husband and wife, of the grace of life, our prayers are going to be hindered. So again, verse 7, 1 Peter 3, husbands are to dwell with their wives according to knowledge. What is she like? How can you be a blessing? Giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So, to finish up this segment about what men are to look for in a godly wife, and looking, praying for a godly wife. The Bible does say, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Proverbs 19:14. Remember, when God spoke concerning Adam, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make an help meet for Genesis 2:18. So if you're looking for a godly wife, you're looking for a nurturing, nourishing woman who's clean and loves to clean, knows her way around a kitchen. If she doesn't and she's not willing to learn, then something's not right. We express our love by serving others. And for the woman, that would include keeping the house that he's paying for you and him, that he's providing for, clean and cooking. If you get mad at that, just cut this message off. Go run to some other Jezebel that's going to teach you lies and keep you in a miserable, cursed position that you're already in and aren't leaving, because only repentance and the truth are going to make you free. Brother David Taylor writes this about marriage. He says, before there can be a true union manifested in the wedding ceremony, there has to be two funerals manifested in self-denial. Wow. Two funerals coming together to die. Amen. And that's when life is going to spring forth, but never before. Let me just say this, and this is right at the heart of this whole message. Anybody who is not Savior and others serving, postured to serve Jesus and others, is a miserable, cursed human being. It doesn't matter what else they have, how much of this world's goods they have. They're cursed. They're miserable. They can travel all over the world, stay in five-star hotels, taking fake pictures of themselves, smiling like they're having so much fun, and they're still cursed. They're miserable. They're guilt-ridden. They're full of shame and guilt, and they're miserable. The Bible says, better is a little, just having a little bit, with the fear of the Lord, than great treasure, having all this world's goods and all it has to offer, than great treasure and trouble therewith. In other words, you have a troubled heart. You can go to Italy. You can go to Tuscany. You can go to France. You can go to Paris. You can go to Jerusalem. You can go to Hawaii, and you are a miserable wretch until you repent. And it's only then that you're going to receive the refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3:19. So another thing that, as we move forward here in this message, the Transformed Wife wrote this: things needed for women to enter the workforce, daycare and public schools, nursing homes for the old, fast food, birth control, antidepressants in massive numbers, and psychologists. Cultures have deeply suffered without women in their homes, unquote. That's how Satan destroys any nation, as he's well underway doing that in America and has been for many, many decades, by taking the woman out of the home. The woman is to be the keeper at home, especially and namely in marriage, taking care of the husband and the children. That's what women are called to do. That's what they're built to do. And anything outside of that is going to bring great misery and curses. Doesn't matter what it looks like, it's cursed. So the cost of this that it speaks of, what she's speaking of, is the cost of things, doing things our own way and not God's way. Somebody put together a chart from Scripture. The faithful man is blessed. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. In Psalm chapter 112, verse 1. Verse 2, the faithful man, his seed is going to be mighty. Verse 3, concerning the faithful man, wealth and riches are in his house. That doesn't necessarily mean money, material goods. It'll include that. But he's talking about the treasure of the Word of God and the kingdom of Christ and the presence of God. Verse 4 of Psalm 112, concerning the godly man, there arises light in the darkness. Doesn't matter what comes his way, God's going to bless, because he puts God first. Also, verse 5, a good man showeth favor and lendeth or gives. He will guide his affairs with discretion. He's a giver, and God is going to bless him, because you can't outgive God. Verse 6 of Psalm 112, the righteous man shall be in everlasting remembrance. God will never forget the righteous. He will always take care of them. Verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? He's trusting in the Lord. Verse 9, Psalm 112, concerning the godly man, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. Amen. He's a giver. The wicked shall see it and shall be grieved. Also of the godly man, the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim every man his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. In other words, a faithful godly man is not prideful, arrogant, or boasting, ladies. He's humble. He lets others encourage or compliment him. He does not compliment himself, as it says, I believe, in the very next verse there in Proverbs 20, Actually, 27:2 of Proverbs, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. It's okay for us to compliment and give praises, if you will, to others. It's just not okay for us to give those praises to ourselves. Proverbs 20 verse 7 though does say, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. In other words, he sends forth that blessing, he trains his children up in the right ways of the Lord. That's what a godly man does. And then the godly woman on the other side of this chart, Proverbs 31. Amen. We got a great, it's been watched by thousands of, I suspect, ladies. I'm going to post it at the bottom of this post. I'm going to put it at the bottom on safeguardyoursoul.com. Proverbs 31, woman. It's a video. We put together a whole teaching in a long play video that has just been life-changing to so many ladies. We've gotten so much feedback on that. Okay, the godly woman, Proverbs 31. By the way, we're not exhausting this topic at all, but we are looking at some of the things the Bible says to help us Bible knowledge so that our discernment increases. When we're looking, unmarried Christians are looking, praying for a godly mate. Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, her children, verse 28, arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also. Amen. She girds her loins with strength, verse 17. Verse 24, Proverbs 31, she maketh fine linen and selleth it. You see, some people think that a woman who is at home, a keeper at home, can't be industrious. Well, that's definitely contrary to what we see in Proverbs 31. We see this woman is, she makes her own clothes, and that for her family, family's clothes. Her candle goeth not out by night. She's diligent. She works feverishly night and day. Verse 26 of Proverbs 31, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. So she speaks, and wisdom is manifested out of her heart, because she's a woman of the Word of God, and she's a woman of kindness. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates. He's blessed. When you meet a man, I know lots of men that I fellowship with and know, and I've never met their wives, but I can see the fruit of a godly wife. Amen. A man that's got a woman that's like a brawling woman that's tearing down her house with her attitudes and her words. It's a man that's not sound in heart and mind. He's very troubled. And it would be better for him, according to Proverbs, to dwell on a rooftop than in a large plush house with a brawling woman. But I know men that I can tell they have good wives. Now, some of them I know their wives. Some of them I don't, but I know they have a good wife by the freedom, the liberty, the blessedness of their own disposition. And notice that's reflected here. Her husband, the husband of a godly woman, is known in the gates. He's esteemed. He's blessed. Amen. The best thing a wife can do for her husband to continue to prosper upwardly, or some call it level up, is to love him with every female attribute you have. I'm not going to go into detail. Use it. God gave it to you to be a blessing, to nourish that man in your love. The love that no other woman can give him in every attitude, every action, every word, and every action. I'll leave it right there. Give him some action. Let's move on here before I get myself in trouble. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household. Doesn't matter what the weather is, she is doing just like the godly man. She's doing whatever it takes to fill her household with the food and the drink and everything that's needed for her family. Verse 20 of Proverbs 31, the godly woman stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Amen. Just like the godly man. Isn't that awesome? See, so this is a contrast between Psalm 112 and Psalm 31. The godly man depicted in Psalm 112. Most of us didn't realize that. Psalm 112 talks about the godly man. Proverbs 31 speaks about the godly woman. Amen. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Verse 24 of Proverbs 31. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And then it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Also, let me throw this in there. You will recall that the godly woman, the virtuous woman, buys and sells land. She's not limited at all. She's just not locked into some 9-to-5. fighting traffic, working for some other man other than her husband out there as corporate slave. And some people are so delusional, they call that freedom. That is just the height of absolute misery. The godly woman gets to stay home. So she has full freedom and resources to work for God as unto the Lord for her husband and her children. That's what God ordained. So we put education in our children in the hands of the government, and now we're surprised at the evil results we have reaped. What did we expect? What did you expect when you sent your daughter to go learn how to be the provider, the man? You prepared her to fulfill the man's role, and you count that as something that you've accomplished. You need to be repentant and ask God to forgive you for this wickedness you have wrought. And so many wonder why their daughters aren't married, or they're out there doing stuff that they never intended their daughters to be doing. Why? Because they set them up for this. They told them they needed to get an education so that they could fulfill the man's role. This is absolutely apostasy. The transformed wife said this. She had only 1 year left of medical school. She had been reading what I wrote. This lady, this is an actual account of somebody who was transformed by the word of God. It stopped her tracks. She stopped her career path, if you will, because she had been reading what the transformed wife is saying about God's order and role for women. And then she told the transformed wife that she no longer desires to be a doctor. She wants to be at home with her baby. She's home now and has no more panic attacks. Her family mocks her, but she and her husband are happy and thankful. Another thing transformed wife wrote recently, she said, many women today are choosing to be servants to their boss, their paycheck, and their debt. I choose to be a servant to my husband, my children, my grandchildren, and my home, those whom I love. Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Don't you just love that? Amen. That's from the transformed wife. Here's another one. Young mothers, it's okay if you don't have some online business. It's okay if you're not making any money, but putting all of your energy into being a helpmeet to your husband, mothering your children, and being a homemaker, it's okay. God never asked you to bring in the paycheck. Here's another one. Why do nations fall when mothers leave their homes? It takes full-time mothers at home to raise good, honest, hard-working children. They are raising the next generation. When mothers aren't home doing this, children aren't being loved, nurtured, and taught. Thus, nations crumble, unquote. Here's another one from Wife with a Purpose. This is a lady that calls her handle Wife with a Purpose. She says it's absolutely unreasonable that Elon Musk now refuses to pay for his employees' lunches. I've never heard of such a thing. My boss always pays for my lunches, breakfast, dinner, snacks, and desserts too. If it's a special occasion, he even takes me out to dinner. What's that, ladies? Your boss doesn't do that. Try having a husband for a boss. It's much better than a businessman. My boss, that's her husband, even throws in free housing, vacations, and babies. I love that. Absolutely amazing. Another one from the transformed wife. Total rebellion against feminism. No college nor debt. Sexually pure before marriage. Sober and dress modestly. Take husband's last name. Lifelong marriage to one man. Love and submit to husband. Bear and raise children. Homeschool them. Raise them to love and obey God. Full-time homemaker. I'll stop at that. There's so many good, encouraging, biblically nourishing things that are available to us, saints, in the way of walking with God according to the role He has called us to be in as men, as the male and the woman. Now, she continues in this agenda of the enemy of souls to destroy. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. Now these young ladies have a degree. They're slaves to a job. Can't even cook a few meals. Don't clean, etc. The parents are largely to blame in this. They groom their own daughters against the plan of God for women to be keepers at home while their husbands went out and worked and were the breadwinners for the family. Amen. So men, it's time to look for such a woman. And ladies, it's time for us or for you to consider looking for the godly man we're talking about from the scriptures. The closer a man gets to Christ, the more he will be moved to love and cherish his wife as Christ also loved the church, Ephesians chapter 5. The more a woman worships God and walks with Jesus, the more she is conformed to the image of Christ, crucified with him, and loving and serving her husband is what she's going to be doing as God has commanded that she would even obey him. If you are married or you wish to be encouraged right now to begin reading Philippians 2 every morning this week and from now until you meet your husband or your wife. Walk with Jesus accordingly as a servant. Walk in the mind of Christ where you're elevating and serving others above yourself, considering them more important than yourself. Philippians 2, the God-given and blessed role of the man and the woman is going to come forth in its full beauty when we do that. Amen. Nothing can replace a mother's love, a mother at home loving and training up her children and her husband's children. Amen. Troy writes this. He says, a child reared by a loving mother is blessed beyond belief. Most of what is good in me came from listening to my mother while at her knee. More good came from my parents taking me to Sunday school. Nothing is so valuable. There is nothing so valuable and important as a good mother. And he puts in all caps as he finishes, nothing with an exclamation point. Wow. That's from Troy G. The reason the world is confused about gender, about roles, is due to those who claim to be Christ's not having a biblical revelation of such and not stating such repeatedly and continually. It's time to get our houses in order, gentlemen. You're the head of your wife as Christ is your head, not her trinket getter, by the way, or chore boy, and are to give your life for her as Christ did for the church. Ephesians 5. No such thing as a female elder, by the way, ladies, or pastor or prophetess. None of that's in the New Testament. That's against Scripture. Women are to learn in silence, and they are to allow men to lead the family and the church. Christ is the head of the man, even as that man is the head of the wife, 1 Corinthians 11:3. This is divinely ordained. It's non-negotiable. And we must say with Paul, let God be true and every man a liar, Romans chapter 3, verse 4. And on that note, let me give the gentleman a homework to check out. It's Proverbs 31, verse 3. A godly mother, speaking of the amazing, absolutely priceless value of a godly mother and a good mother. Amen. Proverbs 31, 3. Lemuel's mother. Not a lot of people realize that the first 9 verses of Proverbs 31 is Lemuel's mother, a godly woman, giving her dear son divine wisdom. And she says this, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. I believe that has to do with allowing a woman to run your life and to run your house. You, sir, are the head of the woman, even as Christ is the head of the man, and the man or the husband is the head of his wife. You're there to protect. You're there to provide for. You're there in the leadership role. Ultimately, you're going to give account for the direction and the decisions made in that family. Give not thy strength or thy virtue, your valor, your goods. There's a lot of definition here I want you to dig into. So, dear godly men, the strength, the condition of the manhood, the godly manhood, the fortitude, and the strength of God in us determines the power of our presiding as servants in that household and our ministries. So we must have the cross, the daily cross, as we prefer God and others above ourselves. And we don't give our strength to women. We do not resign our place that God's called us to in the house, in the family, that is, in the church or in society. We walk where God has called us to walk. We don't let anyone manipulate or deter us from such. You know, there's a demonic old wives fable that floats around about Jezebel's love to quote this, and everybody laughs. I won't laugh at it ever. Personally, it's my conviction. They say, well, he's the head, but I'm the neck, and I turn the head. That's, laugh at it or not, that's a subtlety and a deception and a bunch of witchcraft in my limited and humble opinion. So beware, saints. I hope these scriptures and this message and musings will help to encourage you to more deeply study your role as a woman, if you're a lady, and gentlemen, to be a godly man, exactly how God ordained it and gave it to us in His Word. Let me finish here with a few final thoughts here. Lori Alexander writes this: last night, the two women next door began screaming hysterically. There was a 4-foot-long snake in my grandpa's cabin. Two men stayed in the cabin and captured the snake. A perfect example of the difference between men and women. Praise God for the men, unquote. Amen. God made the man, then He made the woman to be His helpmate. Genesis 2:18. This has never changed and never will. Anyone acting outside of their created non-negotiable role is rebellious, they're miserable, they're sad, they're shamed, they're empty, and they're unhappy because they're not seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, which is the only way that good things are going to come to you. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Sister Nancy Cote, C-O-T-E, said this: this is God's design, and the best at that, the best design. She continues, sad to say, most families are not following God's plan, including those that would call themselves Christians. We see many problems in marriages. We have a lack of total submission and honor to our God. God holds first the husband being the head of the home, first submitted to God in reverence and fear and love. And then the wife submitted to her husband's leadership under God in fear and love, both in reverence to God, together to be blessed of God and to overflow to children and ministries, then a job, unquote. Amen. Lori Alexander said, oh, how I love this. How much stronger marriages would be if women understood this simple concept. We were created to be their helpmeet. And she's responding to a brother named Brandon Dyer who said, Adam was made to tend the garden. Eve was made to tend the gardener. That's by actually Doug Wilson. Amen. Let me read it again. Adam was made to tend the garden. Eve was made to tend the gardener. Wow, incredible. Another one. Mothers, it's up to you to nurture a love for home and your daughters. If you don't, culture will nurture a love for the workforce in your daughters. Teach them to bake, to cook, to clean, and everything else having to do with homemaking from an early age. Model joyfulness to them. Amen. Let me finish by saying this, Saints. This week, somebody posted a little clip of a little girl. This kid couldn't have been about a year and a half old. What an adorable little girl. And she's in a store, and she found a little mannequin of a boy that looked kind of just like her, and it was about her height. I guess she was about 1.5 to 2 years old. She found that little, you know how kids are when they find each other, they immediately gravitate to one another because it's another little person. And it was so interesting because she grabbed that mannequin. And I don't even know, she didn't even realize, wasn't even old enough to realize that was a mannequin, but she just knew it looked like a boy her size, and she started caressing his head and kissing him on the cheek and the lips. I mean, it was hysterically funny and adorable, but it was also very telling because we live in a generation that magnifies and preaches perversion, which is an abomination to the Lord, and has absolutely cleared all the natural affection out of these young ladies, and some of them are now grown in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. That little girl was demonstrating the affection that God places in little girls and little boys for one another. It's built in. It's what the Bible calls in Romans 1, natural affection. And in Romans 1, it speaks of without, quote unquote, natural affection. I'm going to do a message on that shortly in the coming days. And so we have people that have grown up learning to hate women and to hate men. And that's of the devil. And it could only be coming from the devil and his lies, because he's come to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. And so now in our day, things are so perverted and corrupt as they were in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah that it's okay to like someone of the same sex, but then it becomes perverse to love somebody or be attracted to somebody of the opposite sex. You know, we all know that these things are seen all around us in society. It was just so refreshing to see the handiwork of God when you see this little bitty girl, as you see many times with little boys that'll take a little girl by their hand. These kids, they don't even know what they're doing. It's just natural. They're taking a little girl by their hand, or they're kissing her on the cheek, or they're putting their arm around her. That's what God put in men and women to be attracted to one another, to love one another, and to come together ultimately with that one special mate for a godly, happy, beautiful relationship in holy matrimony. God bless you, my friends. I hope this planted some seed that certainly, again, is far from being exhaustive in the way of teaching the full counsel of God on this topic of the roles of men and women that God created to be intentionally unique and beautiful and complementary. May God bless each of us to walk in the fullness of what He's ordained us to walk in and stated in His Word, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, Scripture-rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.